Good evening and welcome to Wednesday Night Bible Study. We're glad to have you with us tonight as we continue our study entitled A Praying Life. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to take them right now and open them up to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we're going to start reading verses 7 through 11 tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. A praying life. Last week, I spoke on the topic of becoming like a child, and we're just going to continue that a little bit tonight, Becoming Like a Child, Part 2. But before we get into the Bible study and before we read the scriptures together, let's have a word of prayer together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity that you give us to gather here this evening and to open up your word and to search the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help me tonight as I bring this Bible study, that it would be brought in such a way that it would speak to our hearts in a very powerful and personal way, and certainly draw each of us closer to you. And I do pray, Lord, if perhaps someone is watching tonight that have never placed their faith and trust in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that tonight they call upon him to be their Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. And I pray, Lord, that tonight you'd move in their hearts and do that. But be with us tonight in a powerful way, Lord. Just speak to our hearts as only you can. For I ask this now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, reading in chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning and verse number 7, the Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him?" Well, these are some great verses in the Word of God. But before we even begin to go into these verses and to just kind of look at them and see what God is trying to teach us through these scriptures, just real quickly in review, if you remember, last week we talked about the idea of, in the culture and time in which we live, often, sometimes it can be difficult to get into the habit of having a prayer life. I mean, a meaningful and a significant prayer life. But we started the Bible study last night observing in the scriptures how often Jesus referred to children when he was teaching the disciples and how he used them as examples. And real quickly in review, you remember that also what had happened was that it was odd for him to do that because children were not really thought of as very important in the culture of that day. And so it was really significant for him to use that kind of teaching and to draw people to learn a little bit more about him by using that type of teaching. You remember in Mark chapter 10, they had brought young children to Jesus, and the disciples began to rebuke them about bringing these children. Like, "Don't bring these children to Jesus. He's too important for that." And then Jesus said, no. "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." And then we looked a little bit of chapter 9, if you remember, also by way of review, and the disciples were on their way, I believe it was to Capernaum, and they were talking amongst themselves, and they didn't think Jesus knew what they were talking about. And then when they got to Capernaum, he revealed to them that he knew that they were talking about who should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then you remember Jesus took a young child and he set that child in the midst of them. And he said, "Really, listen, you've got to come. If you're going to come into the kingdom, you're going to come into the kingdom as a child and with a childlike spirit." And he, all throughout the Gospels, you see Jesus using children. And we talked about 3 points last week, too, if you remember. We talked about in our prayer life, it's important to come to the Lord honestly. And we talked about the brutal honesty that often children have. And then we were reminded that children are messy. They make a mess. We expect children to make a mess. But sometimes we make a mess as adults. We make a mess or there are messes in our lives, and God knows that. God knows, you know, from the honesty point of view, God knows already what's on our heart. We can't deceive him. We can't fool him. From the messy point, God already knows if there's a mess going on in our lives. So prayer is a great time to take whatever that mess is and to bring it before the Lord, and not to be discouraged if things aren't going the way that we think that they should be going. And then we can be fidgety sometimes in our prayer life, like children, where we have a hard time concentrating. And we're reminded that God knows all of that, and Jesus used children, and children have all these characteristics. But I also thought, as I was considering all of that, that three other points with regards to children, and a little bit different direction here. But it's important what we can learn with regard to our prayer life. So as we looked at this particular text, a couple of things. Number one, we need to come to God with our prayers with a childlike possibilities. Childlike possibilities. You understand what I mean by that? That children, because they don't have that cynicism that sometimes you and I can develop over time. And the children, they just think that everything is possible. You know, in the scriptures teach us this, that with man things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. And when you think of a child, when they look at their mom or their dad, especially when they're young, they just think that their mom or their dad, that they can do anything. You know, I watched this past week my grandson Matty, and as he dealt with his father, and it's not like what I just observed recently, but I see it all the time. When you look at Matty and you look at his relationship with his father, at this point in Matty's life, Matty thinks that Aaron can walk on water, that he can do absolutely no wrong, that my daddy can do everything. And to Aaron, I say, enjoy that, because it doesn't always last. But that's the way children are. But that's the way that we have to come to the Lord in our prayer life, because it's true. Unlike a human father, we have a heavenly father, that all things are possible. Now, we understand this too, because James teaches us this. James says this. He says that you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. And there are times that we come to the Lord, and God's not some genie in a lamp where we could just, whatever we ask, God's going to give us. But James reminds us of that. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. And so, yeah, there are times that our Heavenly Father, we come to him in prayer, and he may just say no. And he says no always for our benefit. But by the way, don't ever forget this with regards to our prayer life. Prayer life is not about getting our will done on earth. Prayers are about getting God's will done through us. And there's a big difference with regards to that. But when we come to God, we come to God like a child. There are no limitations on God. With man, things are impossible. But with God, listen, all things are possible. It's incredible. Jesus, or in the Gospel of John wrote these words. He said this, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," okay, and that's the important thing. That's what James was talking about. We ask amiss. That's contrary to God's will. "But if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him." Wow, there's some great truths there. It's the confidence that we have in him. A little child, they have confidence in their father and their mother, just as I just said, a tremendous confidence. But we need to come to God with that childlike confidence that he hears us, he knows. He's not taken aback. He's not unawares. He knows what's going on. And really, what is that childlike confidence that a child has in his or her parent? In a sense, it's their faith in that parent. And it's in our prayer life, it's the faith that we have in God. You know, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. We saw that verse a lot in our Bible study a week ago. But we know that because we're confident that God can work out all of these details in our lives. The Bible says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is." We have to have confidence in him. First, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our faith is in our Heavenly Father and in his word. Now, this is very interesting. I think you'll find on the rare occasion when Jesus encounters an adult who believes like a child in the scriptures, it's as if, and I say this respectfully, it's as if Jesus is standing on a soapbox and he's practically yelling, pay attention to this person. Look how he or she believes. Pay attention. I'm going to give you two examples that are found in the Bible. So take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7, and beginning in verse number 1. Luke 7 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he should come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So you understand what's happened here. They're in the town of Capernaum, and there's a centurion in that town. The Bible in the New Testament mentions centurions 7 times, and every time that centurions are mentioned in the New Testament, they are mentioned in a very positive light. And if you're watching and you don't know, well, what's a centurion? It's a Roman soldier who was in charge of 100 soldiers. And this particular centurion was well thought of the Jewish people of that town. And he cared about them. In fact, he helped them to build a synagogue in that town. And so when the Bible says the servant who was dear to the centurion, he had become sick and he was going to die. Well, the Jews, they come to Jesus, and they know now Jesus has been healing people. He's been restoring sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, and the lame can walk. And they come to Jesus and they say to Jesus, listen, this centurion, he has a servant. And this centurion, he loves this servant, and we would like, Jesus, for you to come and for him to be healed. Well, in verse 6 it says, then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. The centurion thought so much of Jesus and so little of himself. And by the way, that's a startling fact, because the Romans were occupying Israel and the Romans were in charge of the Jews. Most of the time, the Jews and the Romans did not have a good relationship. But in this instance, the centurion did. But he said, Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. And he said, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word. In fact, he said, Lord, I didn't even think I was worthy to be in your presence. But he said, you just speak it, say a word, and my servant, he'll be healed. And he went on to say, I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and doeth it, and he doeth it. In other words, he's saying, Lord, I'm a man of authority, but not like the authority you have. You have the authority over the wind and the waves. You have authority over life itself. He had confidence in Jesus. Now, here's Jesus' response. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus is saying this, this Roman centurion, this Gentile, he has more faith. Amongst the Jews, I haven't found this much faith. Because this was a man that believed in the possibilities of God and the possibilities of Jesus. He came to Jesus with childlike faith. Quickly, here's another example. If you turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, and in Matthew chapter number 15, there's a Canaanite woman, another Gentile. And the Bible says this, Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 21. The scriptures say, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." In other words, her daughter was demonically possessed. "But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." The disciples said, "You know, she's a Gentile woman. We don't have time for her." And then Jesus said this. He said to her personally, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus said, "Woman, great is thy faith." So in other words, you understand what's happened here. The Jews and the Canaanites were at odds with one another. In fact, they thought of the Canaanites, did the Jews, as dogs. And the Canaanites knew that. Now, she didn't really know Jesus that well, but she knew him well enough to know that he had the power to cast the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus marveled at this. He said, Jesus answered and said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This woman came with a childlike possibility. Even though the Jews didn't have any relationships with the Gentiles, with the Gentiles and the Canaanites, even though she knew that, and even though she knew that the Jewish people, and she wondered, maybe Jesus had that same feeling towards Canaanite people. And Jesus marveled as she came, because she came with a childlike possibility that Jesus could do for her what she so desperately needed done. And Jesus, both of these instances, the Canaanite woman and the centurion, he marveled at their faith, because they believed that all things were possible with God. And so should you and me. Secondly, I noticed this. If you go back to Matthew chapter number 7, I noticed the not only childlike possibilities, but a childlike pleasure. Well, children bring us great pleasure. I mean, when we watch our children grow up and when we watch our grandchildren grow up, they bring us great, great pleasure. And sometimes I think the older we get and we forget that God has great pleasure in you and me. He really does. And the scriptures speak of the pleasure that God has in those, especially those who walk in the way. Listen to what the scripture says. "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And by the way, there's all kinds of prosperity. I'm not necessarily talking about some kind of prosperity gospel here. But God's blessings, you know, we've talked about God desiring. Pastor Ethan was preaching the other day, and he talked about John chapter 10, where Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly and the fullness of joy." Listen to what else the scriptures say. "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." God takes pleasure in you and me. And so when we come to him in prayer, he is so pleased because we're talking with him. And what a joy that is to the Lord. And yeah, you might be kind of messy, and you might have a kind of a fidgety type of a life, and maybe you've been hiding some things and not totally honest with the Lord. And maybe you've lacked faith that with all things God is possible. But if you still come to the Lord, He's so pleased that you do. Just like we're pleased that we can do things for our children or our grandchildren. In our yard at home, we have a sandbox that's been there for years. I made it, it's round, it's pretty good size, and you know, in Reedsboro, no shortage of rocks. So it's not a wooden, it doesn't have wooden sides around it, it has these boulders that are around it, and I have sand in it. And my children are too old to be playing in the sandbox any longer, but when the grandchildren come over, several of them especially love to play in the sandbox. They go right to it. And so this year I just went out not too long ago and I picked up 450 pounds of play sand to put into the sandbox because the sand had gotten kind of low and I think it was kind of more dirt than it was sand. So I did that because I want when my grandkids to come, it pleases me to see them playing in the sandbox. Just like when I built the sandbox, it was pleasing to see my children play in the sandbox. Now, at the end of last summer into the fall, I was kind of cleaning up the yard, getting it ready for winter, and I put all the toys that are in the sandbox away for the winter, and there was the same toys that had been there since my children were little. And so they were old, and they were broken, and they were rusty. And so I took them all, put them in a barrel, took them to the dump, got rid of them. So my plan this spring is to buy new toys for the sandbox. And so I tell that to my wife. Well, she said, we can go online and I can pick out toys online and order them. No, I said, I don't want to go online and pick up toys. I want to go to like Walmart. And I want to buy, you know, we're going to buy a dump truck. And we're going to buy a bulldozer, and we're going to buy a backhoe, and we're, you know, it's a man thing. Sorry, I know that's not politically correct, but I'm not really always very politically correct. Oh, yeah, well, let my wife pick out the pink bucket for the little girls and all of that. Okay, hold your letters. But then I thought even better would be to pick up a couple, two or three of the grandkids and bring them to Walmart with me. Now, unfortunately, we can't do that right now because of the COVID thing. I think they only allow one person in the store at a time. But how great would that be to bring the grandkids down the toy aisle? What about this bulldozer? What about this dump truck? What about this backhoe? Honey, would you like this pink bucket here? Or maybe, honey, this lavender bucket? And then why would I do that? Just so I could enjoy my grandkids and the pleasure it would bring me for them to receive, oh, yeah, sure, Grandpa, we like that bulldozer right there. And do you understand what I'm saying? Well, listen, it's a great illustration when we come to our Heavenly Father. He takes pleasure. Listen to what the Scriptures say in chapter 7. Listen to what it says. It says, what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts or good things to them that ask him? Do you understand what it's saying? If your son was hungry and he wanted a fish to eat, you wouldn't give him a serpent. And if he wanted, it's just a simple illustration, if he wanted bread, he's not going to give him a stone. Can't eat a stone. And then he uses that phrase, if ye being evil. Now, in the sense, Jesus isn't using the word evil like we're diabolically evil. But the fact is we're fallen, we have a fallen nature, it's sinful man. And he's saying this, even us as a sinful, fallen creation, we just know that when our child needs something, we provide that for him. Well, how much more our holy, righteous, heavenly, sinless Father provides for you and provides for me? He takes pleasure in it. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 12:32. Little flock. No, fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure to do that. If you have your Bibles open to Matthew, just go to chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Well, of course we are. If God takes care of the birds and feeds the birds, and then he talks a little bit, the next verse here, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil, and they neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye of little faith? Listen, God takes pleasure in us. It's amazing how much pleasure he takes in us. We don't comprehend it. But he does. Don't forget that when you go to the Lord in prayer. He's so pleased when we talk with him. And then lastly, let's come to God with a childlike persistence. A childlike persistence. Again in chapter 7 when it said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The idea behind that in the way that it's laid out in the Greek language, my understanding is this. It's you just keep asking. Keep asking. You just keep seeking. You keep seeking. If you lost something, you don't just seek in one area. You just keep looking for it and looking for it and looking for it until you find it. Knock. Keep knocking. Knock. It's a repetitive thing. Earnestly and diligently, the idea is, and with perseverance. I'll give you another example from the sandbox. Sandbox examples tonight. So I was at Aaron's house not long ago, and Emmy was in the sandbox with all the other grandkids. And one of them had Emmy's pink sand bucket. And Emmy began to whine. Now, I'm not saying that we should whine to the Lord. But Emmy, I want my bucket. I want my... And she just repeated it over again and over again and over again. And of course, Mom, she says, Emmy, you can share. You can share. I want my bucket. She was persistent. She wanted that sand bucket. Now, I don't know whether she got that. I don't know whether she got that sand bucket or not. But the point is, she was persistent in wanting that sand bucket. And her mom was trying to teach her the importance of sharing. That's an important lesson in as well. But that's what she was doing. Now, over in Luke chapter 18, we'll finish up here. Luke chapter 18. And we see an illustration, a parable that Jesus teaches us in persistence. It says, and he spake, chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, don't give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. So you understand what she's saying. Someone had made a charge against her. And she comes to the judge. And she's not looking for revenge when it says, avenge me, my adversary. What she's looking for is simply justice. Do me justice against my adversary and to vindicate me from the charge that he has made against me. Well, the judge, he would not. But she kept asking. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Do you understand what he's saying? This man wasn't even a godly man. He didn't even believe in God. But he got tired of her coming to him and asking and asking. And God's using this as an illustration. If an ungodly, uncaring judge will respond to the persistency of this woman, how about a caring and just God? An all-knowing God? Isn't it more likely that through our persistency, our asking, our seeking, and our knocking, that he'll answer our prayer? The goodness of our Father's nature and the promise of His grace bind Him to hear the prayers that people offer unto Him. Wow. So be persistent. Be persistent in your prayer life. Children are supremely confident of their parents' love and power. We should be supremely confident in our Heavenly Father's love and power. Instinctively, children trust. Instinctively, we need to trust. Children, they believe their parents. They believe that their parents want to do them good. They believe their parents want to love them and to protect them. And then that fills a child's heart with all kinds of possibilities. But the same is true about our Heavenly Father, and it fills us with all types of possibilities. And when that enters into our prayer life, then we can approach the throne of grace knowing the possibilities are unlimited, knowing that God takes great pleasure in you and I coming to Him in prayer, knowing that it's okay if we're persistent. He wants us to be persistent. Well, I hope the Bible study was a blessing to you tonight. Let's bow our heads and let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for our Bible study hour. We pray, Lord, that this lesson would just take root in our hearts. And we know, Lord, even now as I'm praying to you and speaking with you, that you're very pleased. And help us as a people to come to you with that mindset and bring our prayer request to you. We pray for our nation as always. Please help us to get through this pandemic. Help us as we reopen the nation. Keep one another safe. Thank you for the services we were able to hold this past Sunday. We look forward to this Sunday's services on site as well as online. Be with families that have lost loved ones during this pandemic. Please, Lord, your comforting hand upon them. Help them to sense the presence and power of Jesus in their lives. But help us to be reminded that throughout this pandemic, the brevity of life and the need to know Jesus as our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you and good night.